2 Timothy chapter 4, and we got into it a little bit. Let's start at verse 11. 2 Timothy 4, verse 11. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him here with thee, for he is profitable for me, profitable to me for the ministry. Now, don't take that further than it says, what it says there. Don't add to it. We see again here that those of the circumcision would help Paul after they saw that Israel had fallen and that God had started offering salvation directly to the Gentiles, to all people, the ones that believed that Christ died for their sins and resurrected the third day for their justification. After Mark, you recall in earlier scriptures, it says he went not with them to the work. I think that's in Acts 14. After it says, Paul rejected Mark to go on with them in the next journey, apostolic journey, because he went not with them to the work. The work is a specific calling, and it's a prophetic calling. It was in Habakkuk 1:5. But after that, it's good to hear that Paul could use Mark in the work of the body of Christ, even though the Bible does not say whether or not Mark had become part of the remnant according to the election of grace, whether he had believed the body of Christ doctrine or still believed and trusted his eternal salvation into Israel's doctrine, that there would someday, no longer would it be at hand, a kingdom coming out of heaven to earth to rule on earth, but way out in the future, yes. They could believe that. There was a time period there where it was diminishing. They could still believe that. But that by the time Paul wrote 2 Timothy, I believe that time was over. You read in one of the earlier writings after the end of Acts, in Titus, that Titus 1 verse 10, that the circumcision group was a not renegade, but they weren't in the doctrine anymore. I should read that verse. Let me find it here. Titus, holding fast the faithful word as hath been. Wait a second here. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. So the circumcision had gone downhill. Quite possibly all of the ones that had been in the circumcision group, in the circumcision group there, the little flock, all of the ones that were originally in it, could have already died by then, and they were just ones that what's it say? Unruly, vain talkers, and deceivers had stepped up and taken over. I don't know that that's what happened, but it sounds like it. It was long after that, those days there in Acts 2 and Acts 3, when those thousands were added, and by the time you get to Acts 20, it sounds like there's still about the same number of people in that circumcision church. So I'm getting off the track here. So let me just get back to... Hold on until that gets answered here. So anyway, he was profitable for the ministry. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark, bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And the work when it talks about the work in these circumstances, it was a dispensation of the gospel of Christ to the Jews and the Greeks. The dispensation of the gospel was what went on in the body of Christ during that period, what was being dispensed. The work was the prophetic side. That was the little flock and it was during the time of the little flock. It would be more the Jews and Greeks in the synagogues getting saved by Paul's message, and that provoked the unbelieving Jews so that some of them would believe that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, risen from the dead. Those facts about Jesus. And then they could hear, Paul would go ahead and preach to those that believed who Jesus was. He would preach how to be saved, what Christ did for them, that Christ died for their sins. Boy, is that love. If you want a definition of love, just recognize what Christ did for us on the cross, you know. But that dispensation of the gospel of Christ to the Jews and the Greeks was during the period of the work on Israel's side, and it went from Acts 13 verse 2 through Acts 20 verse 6. You can read those events and see that that's the beginning and the end of that dispensation of the gospel of Christ. And the work also. Although the work had a supporting off, what would you call it, an offshoot? after Christ had sent Paul to all people with the gospel, it's called the work of the ministry. The work, yes, but it's, which work is it? The work of the ministry. And Paul said that the ministry which I have received of the Lord. So he received that ministry to preach the gospel of the grace of God. Testify, it says, the gospel of the grace of God. What do you do when you testify? We'll get into that, but you spread it far and wide. You dispense it. Dispense the gospel of the grace of God. That's the first reference to it in the Bible, Acts 20, verse 24. And yet there are some that try to push it all the way back to Acts 9 without any Bible for that, to do that. Anyway, let's look at these verses here in Acts 13, the calling of Paul and Barnabas. But we'll start in Acts 13:1 and we'll go through verse 4. And I want us to distinguish what's going on here. There's two callings actually going on, or sendings, I should say, two sendings of Paul in this four verses. Let's read it and then we'll talk about it. Now, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. So there's five people, including Barnabas and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, so these are the words of the Holy Ghost here, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. That's a direct reference back to Habakkuk 1:5, the work. So they're called, and he's called them to this work. They're separated under the Lord, under the Holy Ghost. Let's go on. Verse 13 is something a little different that enters in. Okay? And when they, who's they? Is that Barnabas and Saul? No. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted. So it would be those five prophets and teachers in Antioch. When they fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Those three other people, those prophets and teachers there in Antioch, sent Paul and Barnabas and Saul away. Well, that's a human sending. That in fact, is the sending that Paul talks about in... I should have looked that up, too. I think it's Acts 14:27. Let me just check that. That's not it. F-26. Here it is right here. And thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. So what they fulfilled was that human sending of those three other prophets and teachers. Go on to verse 4, though, in Acts 13. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. So the work, they were sent out by two sending bodies in that one journey, okay, in that one commission. The sending body of those three prophets and teachers ended in Acts 14:26, but the sending of the Holy Ghost, I don't see any ending of that until you get to Acts 20, when he's sent in a wider sense, sent to all people. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, that all the Gentiles might hear. He says, we'll see that later today in 2 Timothy 4:17. Those are late events in Paul's ministry. So the work continued until it was expanded to the ministry. The work being during the dispensation of the gospel of Christ to the Jews and the Greeks in the synagogues. And the ministry being when Paul was sent to all people. Paul received the ministry in Acts chapter 20, verse 6, as it's reported 18 verses later in verse 24, Acts 20, 24, and he says, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. He had started a course, and, you know, that included being separated under the gospel of God in Acts 9, according to Romans 1, verse 1. And it included this sending in Acts 13 we just read. None of these things move me, neither count on my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. And, here's something else now, something new. The ministry which I have received of the Lord. He tells them where he got it. What is that? To testify the gospel of the grace of God. The ministry was from the beginning of the gospel of the grace of God in the dispensation of the grace of God, extending from, we'll see why I say Acts 20 verse 6, until the fullness of the Gentiles become into the body of Christ. That's when that gospel of the grace of God ends. Grace ends at that point. If you want to go to heaven, receive God's grace before that grace ends and his wrath is poured out on this earth. Please. You can see how Paul identifies the beginning of the gospel of the grace of God to all men as we look in Philippians 4:15. Now, I shouldn't say it's incidental. It's the Word of God. It was inspired by God to be written this way, but it's not the subject of the verse. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, well, when was that? Does he tell us when the beginning of the gospel was? In the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia. No church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. So he's talking about giving and receiving, but he says when that started. You know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia. So we've got that nugget of information. When did he depart from Macedonia, though? Paul, just by way of explanation, Acts 16 verse 12 tells us that Philippi is the chief city in that part of Macedonia. So that's why we call it Philippi, Macedonia. In Acts verse 6 of chapter 20, Acts 20 verse 6, "And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days." So we don't, it doesn't tell us the date there, does it? But it gives us the position in Acts, and we do much of our understanding of Acts by the sequence of events in Acts 1 through 28. So Paul says he said in 2 Timothy 4:11, "Only Luke is with me. Take Mark, bring him with thee, for he's profitable to me for the ministry." That ministry, taking the gospel that Christ died for our sins, believe on him to life everlasting, taking that to all people beyond the synagogues, beyond the Jews and the Greeks that had been ministered to for roughly a quarter of a century already. Verse 12, 2 Timothy 4:12, "And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus." Verse 13, "The cloak I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee." What does that show? That shows that Paul did suffer, at least suffered coldness in that dungeon. "Bring me a coat, please." Colossians 1:24, "Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church." So he's not doing anything for our sins. He's not doing anything. Christ did all that. He's not edging in on Christ's glory here. He's saying that in order to get the message out, he suffered. And, you know, God had him go through. Remember Acts 9, 15 and 16, how many things he must suffer for my sake. So when you think about it, you know, take the example. Paul was still studying the Word of God. Throughout this dispensation of the grace of God, our main resource and our final authority is the preserved, pure Word of God. Study it. We're told to. But I would miss this TV program then. Or I wouldn't have as much time for golf or whatever, you know. Study. There is one thing important if you're saved. If you're not saved, getting saved is that one thing. But so let's go on. Verse 13 again, just briefly. "The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee." And the books, but especially the parchments. Paul was still studying. He needed those parchments, the Word of God, the manuscripts. Look at Paul, if you remember, as soon as he got sent, I mean, he knew ahead of time from that temple vision in Acts 18. He knew that he was going to be sent to all people. But that sending didn't come until he sailed away from Macedonia in Acts 20, verse 6. First place he goes is Troas. He preaches all night there, all night long. It's the only place it's recorded that he spoke all night. And we find out here, years later apparently, in his last writing, the last chapter that he wrote, that Paul wrote, we find out that when he left Troas, I don't know if he was in a hurry or if he had given his coat to Carpus, but he left it there with Carpus. And he says, "Now I need it. Bring it, please." So, verse 14, a little different vein here, a different topic. "Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works." In other words, he's not a saved individual. He's got to stand in the great white throne judgment and be judged for not having the righteousness of God and his own works. So here Paul gives, it's a specific heads up to Timothy about Alexander the coppersmith. But it also applies to us in a general sense, according to the warnings in the verses that are peppered throughout 2 Timothy. And I've made a list of them here. I'm not going to take the time to read all these. But if you want to write them down or go back and write them from this recording or whatever, here they are. First one is 2 Timothy 1, verses 8 to 12. 2 Timothy 1, verse 15. 2 Timothy 2, verses 8 to 10. 2 Timothy 2, verses 14 to 18. 2 Timothy 2:20 through all the way through 3:13, warnings. And lastly, the sixth one, 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4. Excuse me, that one caught me. Okay, thank you for the hat. So let's go on. 2 Timothy 4:15, of whom, still talking about Alexander the coppersmith, he says, of whom be thou aware, be aware of him also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. Does anybody do that today? We're not in the majority by a long shot that believe the Bible as it's stated, without trying to make it fit our understanding. It shows that Paul did suffer evil, as he had said. He suffered from Alexander the coppersmith also. Colossians 1:24, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church which is his body. If Paul suffered, then that previews our lot, too. As we work in the ministry, at least, if we take it easy, we might not suffer much, but if we're active in studying the Word of God and dispensing it, the gospel of the grace of God, we're going to suffer too. And it'll be from the majority that's called Christendom or called the mainline churches. 2 Timothy 4:16, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all forsook me. We can see Paul's first answer. What was that first answer? Look in Acts 22, starting in verse 3. I'm going to start in the first verse, though, for continuity here. We'll start in Acts. We'll read the first six verses, and then we'll jump down to verse 17. Anybody who wants to post these, you can feel free to minister in that way. Acts 22:1. Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense. So he's before these people there that are have him in custody, and he says, hear my defense, which I make now unto you. Verse 2. And when they had heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. And he saith, verse 3, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward my God, zealous toward God, as you all are this day. Verse 4, and I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, verse 5, as also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders. The high priest was there, okaying all the speaking against the Holy Ghost and the stoning of Stephen in Acts 7:1 and verses 51 to 58 in Acts 7. So that would be before. That's verse 4. I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. Verse 5, as also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. And it came to pass that as I made my journey, going to Damascus, in other words, and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, there suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And when Paul finishes telling about his Damascus road salvation pattern from Christ, he continues telling about a later experience in Jerusalem's temple. So he continues with the story like you hear in Acts 26 or Acts 9, after we stop there, and we're going to pick up in verse 17 now, after he's told some of that. He says, and it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, so he's on a different part of his account here. It's not in Damascus anymore. It's not when he first got saved, but it's on a trip, one of the trips back to Jerusalem, and it sounds like it's not the first trip back either, because it says, let me find the place. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and verse 18, saw him saying unto me, make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. Now don't ignore that crucial statement in the Word of God, or the indicators in the context about the timing of that event. It was not on the road to Damascus. It was not soon after it. It was later. All of his going to synagogues, almost all of them, came before this temple vision here, when he was in a trance and the Lord told him, get out of Jerusalem right this minute, because they're going to, you tell them, those Jews, about this, what I'm going to tell you, and they won't have it. You know, he says they won't receive it. And the proof of that is when he left right away, went down, it says he went down to Antioch, downhill to Antioch, and then he went on another missionary journey, and he came back to Jerusalem and got captured, and then we read these things here in Acts 22. But in Acts 20 or 21, let me get that right. It's right here. It's Acts 22. Let me just continue on here. Starting in verse 19, and I said, now this is after the Lord told him to get out in a hurry, and I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr, Stephen, was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. In other words, he was party to that. He was one of the blasphemers, one of the speakers against the Holy Ghost in Matthew 12:32. So he says, I was consenting to it and kept the raiment of them that slew him. Verse 21, and he said unto me, depart. For, and here's what the testimony was that they would not receive. The Lord tells him just before he leaves, I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Now, Why would he send them to the Gentiles if he'd already sent them to the Gentiles? So there's an ambiguity there. People hear in Acts 26 and Acts 9 about him going to the Gentiles, and they read into that going to all the Gentiles. He didn't go to all the Gentiles. He went to the Gentiles that would provoke Israel to jealousy when they heard it and believed it. That would be, you know, in Romans 11, verse 11, I think, verse 12, that they, it would be the Gentiles that would provoke Israel to jealousy. Not the Gentiles far off. They wouldn't provoke Israel to jealousy. And he also said that it would be the ones from whom Christ would have to deliver Paul. Those are the ones he was sent to at first. Here he's sent to the rest of the Gentiles. And that's verified by, we'll see that later today in 2 Timothy 4:17. Excuse me just a minute. Okay. So he goes through this arguing, I guess you would call it, with the Lord, with Christ in the temple vision. And finally the Lord tells him, he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. That was the first answer that Paul was talking about. This answer, he was telling this whole account of his salvation and his temple vision to the authorities that had him under arrest. The verses that follow it tell to what Paul was referring when he said, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge, it said. So you go to the next verse and you get it laid out in front of you. You can see what happened. Acts 22, verse 22, just after he told them about his temple vision and being sent to all people instead of just the Jews. Excuse me just a minute. I may have to take a break here and get a drink. I didn't bring anything here to drink today. Sorry about that and the coughing that I didn't catch with the mute there. Acts 22:22, and they gave him audience unto this word. What word? Far hence unto the Gentiles. The word he used was not the word they were used to. They were used to the Greeks in the synagogues coming and bringing their tithes, Gentiles that would come and agree with Israel's doctrine, Israel's covenants, Israel's commandments. They were called Hellen, H-E-L-L-E-N at that time. But the word Paul used was ethnos. Means all Gentiles, the dirty Gentiles that didn't care about Israel or God or worshiping God. They had their own idols. Those are the ones that Christ sent Paul to at the end here. So, in Acts 22, Paul testified that in Acts 20, Christ had sent, in that temple vision, Christ had sent him to the ethnos, to the foreign, pagan, heathen, remainder of the Gentiles, finally expanding the salvation message to all men, even to those that God had cursed in Genesis 12, verse 3, the middle part of that verse. I will curse him that curseth thee. They're offered salvation if they believe it. Their sins are paid for. Christ died for our sins. So it says they gave him audience unto this word, ethnos, and then they lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it's not fit that he should live. You see how violently they were against the common Gentile, the rest of the Gentiles, from hearing the word. It didn't benefit them. They didn't bring their tithes to the synagogue. Away with such a fellow from the earth. It's not fit that he should live. Verse 23, and as they cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust in the air, the chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle and bade that he should be examined by scourging, that he might know whereof they cried so against him. Well, let's go back to the text here where we are. We're in 2 Timothy 4. And at verse 16, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. Verse 17, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Well, why, for what purpose did the Lord stand with Paul and strengthen Paul? You know, that by me, that's the reason, that by me the preaching might be fully known. For what further purpose, though, did the Lord stand with Paul and strengthen him? That all the Gentiles might hear. We find that out in 2 Timothy 4:17 there. Not merely the Gentiles that Paul was sent to in Acts 13 that we read to begin with. According to Acts 26, verses 15 and 20, 15 through 20 there, in that account of the Acts 9 salvation of Paul. According to 2 Timothy 4:17, and we just read part of at least, at the time the Lord stood by Paul in Acts 22, there had been new resistance because of Paul's new gospel of the grace of God to all men. They changed their mind. They didn't have the same opinion toward the ethnos, the people like us, didn't have the same opinion as they had toward the Greeks in the synagogues, agreeing with Israel's doctrine and paying tithes to Israel. The money makes a difference to them, to a lot of people, most of us probably. Acts 23:11, and the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, now this is not in the same context, but it is a case where the Lord stood by him. The Lord said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also in Rome. Go down to Acts 26, verse 22. Having therefore obtained help of God, the Lord stood by him, it said, having obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. Now, let's get the qualifications that are into this before we go on. From the time of Paul being charged unto this day. So from the time he was charged with, I don't know what I guess it was a treason, wasn't it? Having another king, one Jesus. Anyway, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day witnessing to both small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. Well, what did they say should come? That's talking about Jesus being the sent one, the anointed one, the Christ. The prophets told about him, his resurrection, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. That he's the Christ. Unto you a son is born, unto you a child. He was the Son of God. That's the gospel of God. He preached the gospel of God, which is what we've said all along. He would go to synagogues, preach the gospel of God, and only preach the gospel of salvation to those that believe the gospel of God. So there's nothing wrong here. Having obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing to both to small and great, none other things than, he's not preaching the mystery at that point, not to public audiences, put it that way. Besides that, Moses and the prophets said should come in Deuteronomy 18, verses 15 to 19, said there would be a prophet sent by God, like unto Moses, that the people must believe, and they refused to believe him. So Paul was trying to convince them to believe that Jesus was this prophet, this Messiah, this Son of God, that was risen from the dead. Well, he goes on and he says, I was delivered out of the lion's mouth, the mouth of the lion. And doesn't that remind you of Acts chapter 26, verse 17, delivering thee from the people and the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. Which ones was he sent to? Again, people read into that all the Gentiles. It doesn't say he was sent to all the Gentiles. He was sent to the people and the Gentiles from whom Christ would have to deliver thee. Delivering thee from the people and the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. So, do you see the connection there? Paul had been sent to those from whom Jesus was going to deliver him. In Acts 9, that was the people, the Jews. He started out, and straightway he preached in the synagogues that Jesus is the Christ, or is it the Son of God? Anyway, that's Acts 9:20. And that he was preaching to Jews that did not yet believe the gospel of God. And the Gentiles that did not yet believe the gospel of God, that Jesus was the risen Messiah, the Son of God. Let's go on in our series of verses here in 2 Timothy. We're going to chapter 4, verse 18. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. Since at that late time of 2 Timothy, Jesus sent Paul to those who from whom he would deliver him. Since 2 Timothy 4:18 says the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, that indicates to me that Jesus had by then, it's another confirmation that Christ had sent Paul to every man by then, to everybody, not just to the Jews and the Greeks. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. And when, you know, if you remember in Acts 26:17 that we read a few minutes ago, Paul says that in Acts 9, Jesus said he was sending him to those from whom he would deliver him. That was accounted, what would you say? It was, accounted. It was told to the authorities by Paul in Acts 26, verse 17, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. So starting in Acts 9, there were some Jews and some Gentiles to whom Jesus sent Paul, from whom Jesus would deliver Paul. And that's a specific sending to specific people, not to all Jews and not to all Gentiles. It doesn't say to all. It says to those from whom Jesus would deliver Paul, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. But by the time of 2 Timothy 4:18, Jesus told Paul not only to preach to the Jews and Jew blessers, but to every evil work from which Jesus would deliver him. Of course, when Paul was to go to be with the Lord was when he was delivered from this evil world. That was the sixth one. There were five, and I account for five of them, at least five, during Acts. And you can read that. There's a lesson on the website in the banner about five times delivered. But the sixth time was when he was delivered from this present evil world. So the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. That's what he's talking about there. To whom be glory forever. Amen. And then he goes on and he says in verse 19, we're getting close to the end here, salute Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Verse 20, Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum, sick. You know, although in Acts 28, verses 8 and 9, Paul still had powers to heal. That's signs of the apostle, signs of an apostle, not signs of the body of Christ then, but signs of an apostle. Here in Acts, in 2 Timothy 4:20, Paul had to leave Trophimus at Miletum sick. He didn't have the ability to heal him. 2 Timothy 4:21, do thy diligence to come before winter. And you remember back about 8 verses ago, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, he wanted to be prepared for the cold winter in prison. He had asked Timothy to bring his cloak. And now, do thy diligence to come before winter. Hurry up, don't make me wait through this cold winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Pudens, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. Verse 22, the Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. Paul is the one that champions the phrase, grace and peace be unto you. And he's our apostle, so we do too. Okie doke. Time for questions and comments.